Blog Talk Radio.
When conservative pundits make predictions that come true within 72 hours, as well as liberal talk show hosts that confront those ideologies and breaches of character, then you know that you're going to have a hotly contested Super Tuesday. Now, the reason why I'm having my audience and listenership tune in today is because less than 72 hours last week, Rush Limbaugh predicted that Donald Trump would have one major incident that would throw him off and disruptively throw him off the railroad train to victory. Now, what I mean by that is that this KKK thing has really blown up. I'm wondering why Donald Trump even used the word disavow. Now, you might think that I don't have any more inside information than the rest of mainstream media, but I do, and I'll explain that in a minute. Just so you know, Donald Trump, when he was first asked about the KKK endorsement by former Grand Wizard David Duke, he said, "I disavow it," which means the word disavow means that you detach from anything related to it. In other words, it's kind of like I neither confirm nor deny it. When asked about his comments on CNN's State of the Union, Trump blamed it on a bad earpiece. So let's just say his quote, and then I'll go into the metaphysical philosophy I have regarding this whole entire incident, as well as other relevant circumstances surrounding the GOP. "I was sitting in a house in Florida with a bad earpiece," the brash billionaire told NBC Today Show. "I could hardly hear what he's saying. I heard various groups. I don't mind disavowing anyone. I disavowed Duke the day before at a major conference." That was the soundbite I heard. In the hours that followed Trump's original comments, the real estate mogul used Twitter to explain his remarks amid an outpouring of criticism from Republican rivals. I'm not going to go on in this article because I want to use my own words. First of all, Paul Ryan came out against him today, saying that this form of bigotry will not be acceptable for any Republican candidate. Now, I'll tell you why this whole scenario is significant as a kind of like a flaring of winds towards the emotional positions of people on a highly charged Super Tuesday. Because Newt Gingrich cornered the whole essence of the Republican fivefold field last week with Sean Hannity. He said, "Donald Trump is like the bear in the Revenant. There is no way that you can conquer him." This is my philosophy. "There's no way you can conquer him in a room. He's going to attack you, and he's not going to attack you on intellectual terms. He's going to use every negative influence to describe other candidates, as he has Rubio, calling him like a sweating busboy. He's going to hunker down on Cruz, even though he's donated to Cruz's campaign in the past and Cruz's senatorship. He's going to twist words and facts, saying that he hasn't formally given to pro-choice causes or backed Hillary in the Libya deal. The bottom line is this. Donald Trump doesn't even belong in the Republican contest. He should have done a Ralph Nader and run under a third party. Whether or not he could have taken those calculated risks, he doesn't belong there. He doesn't embrace the holistic platform of the Republican Party. Now, Rubio and Cruz are much more. Rubio is a Horatio Alger story. He came up from his bootstraps. You know, he was just an ordinary Cuban high school teenager. He crawled his way to the top, and I don't mean negatively. He ended up becoming the Speaker of House in the Florida legislature. Then he went on to become a senator. Do you know how hard that is for any Latino that gets caught in the mix of Southern Florida politics? It's hard for anybody to rise to the top. And this is the first time in history that any Latino has even been considered for president, as far as I'm concerned. I know there was a New Mexican governor who was a high-ranking Democrat and was close to the Clintons. But I really just don't, I don't think that, and there's also very good congressmen from California, several of them who are male Latinos. But the fact of the matter is that Cruz and Rubio stand on their own merits. They fought for survival. And Cruz may not be that likable personally, but his credentials are even better than Rubio's. He was a genius child. He was a, he made his way through college with incredible intellect. He served on many government, I'm going to name them off, just so you know, because a lot of people don't know, okay? He's the first Hispanic American to serve as a U.S. senator representing Texas and one of three senators of Cuban descent. He chairs the Senate Judiciary Committee on Oversight, Federal Life, Federal Rights, and Agency Activities. He's a specialist in constitutional law. That's where his educational background stems from. He's the chairman of the Senate Commerce Subcommittee on Space Science and Competitiveness. And he was appointed vice chairman of the National Republican Senatorial Committee. He also ran in 2008. I'm not sure if you know that. He is married to a Caucasian. He was born in Canada, December 22nd, 1970. He's age 45. He's an alma mater of Princeton University and Harvard, and he's a Southern Baptist, which is actually my religion. I did go back to my Lutheran faith after I moved back to Minnesota. He puts principles, as we say in GA, he puts principles before personalities. He never caves in to any other senator demands without first considering his own principles and his and a lot of it has to do with conservative Christian values. I'm not going to deny that. Here's Don. I woke him up out of bed. He probably needed the sleep, but he made the sacrifice, and here he is. Good evening. Mean, good morning, Don.
Good
it's
morning.
Not evening
right.
yet.
No, no. It will be, though. It was almost evening when you texted me this morning, but that's okay. Now, who were you just giving the bio with there?
Ted Cruz, but the show started out with Rush Limbaugh's prediction that it would take one catastrophic event to take Trump down, and it's all coming to light right now. And then Rush Limbaugh's other prediction was that Bernie Sanders is not going to make it through Super Tuesday. But he said Bernie Sanders supporters don't know that yet.
No, Bernie will make it. He'll make it to June. But this is a bellwether day in that Elizabeth Warren just threw her power behind Hillary. So now Elizabeth is going to be Hillary's best.
She did do that today?
Spokesperson, yes. And so I truly thought that Bernie and Elizabeth would be a good pair in the White House if they really wanted to make the issues that they're talking about come to fruition. I really do believe that that would have been a great pair, and it could still be if Bernie is. But Bernie, he'll make it through June. That's a given. He's got enough money. He's got enough momentum. The problem is that when June comes around, he's going to get, he'll get, there won't be any primary delegates left. He'll have them all. Hillary will have both.
Who will?
Hillary. Now, you know, the thing that's surprising to me is that now we see the Republicans, second and third place people, and fourth and fifth place people start to team up on Donald Trump. And with all of that, that is only going to backfire and make him even stronger. Give him a sympathetic voice, a sympathetic ear, and people are going to say, oh, what's so bad about this hateful, money-grabbing fascist? What's so hateful about that? And they're going to get him even more votes. So this is a situation that people have to be careful with, but the emotions are running deep
behind. I appreciate your predictions, but can I tell you something? As noble as Bernie Sanders is, he's not going to – this is my opinion. I don't believe that he can out-conquer the Clintons. Hannity calls it the Clinton machine. But I like Donald Trump's word, disavow. I'm going to disavow any concept that the Clintons are over 20% corrupt. I believe that in their heart of hearts, they're public servants. And no, I don't like the fact of the predictability of always somebody running for office over a period of 30 years, or at least being in the public eye 30 years. Of course, we want fresh faces. But I think in this case, I love everything Bernie Sanders stands for, reduced or free college education and all that other stuff. But I really think in a general election, now that I'm older, I've gotten more pragmatic. And I think Hillary Clinton's the right person for the job. The only thing that I don't like is I don't like the fact that the conservative radio talk show hosts are going to spend another 4 to 8 years whining about another Clinton in office and how she should have been nailed for Benghazi.
Well, I think that whatever you think may not necessarily completely be in the cards, because, like I said, I don't know if she's going to even survive her upcoming legal battles. She's going to have a hell of a time trying to explain some of these emails that are still coming through. And she's already got, 27?
Well, why wouldn't she have taken that into consideration even before she ran? I mean, I really don't think her and Bill have the mindset that they're above the law. And there's plenty of other things that they're doing with the Clinton Foundation that didn't even make it necessary for her to run.
Well, the thing is that everybody else was doing it, so they thought that it was pretty much protocol or normal or natural. Excuse me. You saw where they have other attorney generals and secretaries of state who have used private servers above governmental secure, quote-unquote, servers. And, we've got the Colin Powells and Holder, and we've got other people who they've found have used the private servers. So she thought it was more or less okay, and so she just did it herself. She doesn't think. The Clintons don't
because they are
Myrna.
In my heart of hearts, I really don't think that when she was transferring those emails from her public account, wherever her office was at Secretary of State, to her home, I don't think she had an evil desire within her to do that.
Yeah.
Had a reason that we don't know, but I don't think it was for exploitive matters. I think she just maybe made a choice that we're unaware of, and I can't certainly speculate because I don't know all the details, but I don't think she had an evil intention. Do you?
Well, I don't think so. No, evil intentions, it doesn't run both ways. You know, she's protecting herself. The reason for them using their preserver is the little trust they have had in the quote-unquote secure governmental connections. So they use their own service for their own protection, and it just happened to be against the law. So, you know, these are you have to that question, you have to kind of understand all of the components of it, because it inherently requires you to figure out if legal, regulated, mandated governmental servers are secure for the most,
and apparently they aren't secure, and I'll tell you why, because I just heard on the news today that over 800,000 files from the IRS, the IRS, over 800,000 people's personal data, including their wages and their social security number, were hacked by somebody. And the IRS has no way of protecting that.
I don't trust any real product, if you want to call it that, for people, because I know that they're back doors and they're made to be they're a planned obsolescence. These people, they know what they're doing. When they produce something, there are always gimmicks or secret portals that they can reach in and obtain anything they want. So, you've got the trucks with the big dishes in the back that can hear you from 1,000 feet away. You've got TVs that can reinvent your image.
So who's really
your
spying on us? We don't, except for my harebrained idea to stand with a black T-shirt, dump Trump at a debate, and run on the stage. I mean, how big of a threat am I as Joe Q Citizen?
You're a very big threat, because you are an active, especially a Democratic liberal. So you're on one of the highest lists they have, besides terrorists.
I've actually become a moderate liberal, because I do support some of the philosophies of Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am a Southern Baptist. I was a Southern Baptist for 25 years. To tell
well,
you,
you
the truth, when I, so I'm
you
kind
don't
of
let
split.
You don't let religion get in the way of politics. That's the whole premise of democracy, dear.
Yeah, I was about to tell you, for example, I don't approve of homosexuality, but I don't think it should be legislated. I think people have every right to choose what kind of partner they're going to be with and stuff like that. Also, I know people in my generation who had abortions because the man fled them. I don't think abortion is wrong, and I think it's wrong in a religious sense, but I think it would be terrible if the choice to abort, in some cases, not all. For example, Texas has shut down all their abortion clinics except for about 5, and there's one clinic in Texas that it's the only one available in 250 miles, and it serves over 2 million women in the general region. And women have to take 5 days off work. This lady had to go to Georgia to get an abortion because she was told by her doctor that her 3-month-old child in her womb had a fatal condition and it wouldn't survive outside the womb for 1 day. And she couldn't make an appointment in a Texas clinic, so she had to fly to Atlanta, Georgia, at her own expense to get an abortion.
Right.
So I think that abortion should be made legal.
Well, that's
or
your
stay
well,
legal.
Abortion is. Well, that's your boy Ted Cruz.
I meant stay legal, not be. I'm kind of tired today.
Okay.
But did you know that the original Roe v. Wade lady became a Christian and then regretted that whole situation where she was the pinnacle of a Supreme Court decision? And she appeared in the movie called Doonby, in which it's a movie about a mother who aborts a child, and had the child lived, what his life would have been like.
In my particular, love you, you got to have a good time. In my particular instance, the family's going to Sacramento right now.
Oh, cool.
In my particular. Yeah, you guys might
tell Pat hi.
Yeah, I will after she gets finished railing me for a call at 5 o'clock this morning. But for the most part, your Ted Cruz, your Marco Rubio, they're not. They're Marco Rubio has always said, already said in the past, that there is no rape, there is no incest, there is no reason for abortions, period. So, you know, those are I can't help you with that.
How about in the case where a mother's life is at risk?
Doesn't matter. Mother's life doesn't matter because mother's already used her whatever life. She's already used her time.
Well, I can understand why some people say that Cruz and Rubio are too far-fetched. But the foundations of their life were built on solid ground, like where they came. Remember Booker T. Washington said, am I saying it right, Booker T. Washington?
Yeah.
Booker T., yeah, it's not the depths, it's not the heights you reach, it's the depths from whence you come. So,
okay.
I mean, Rubio's parents started out as a frickin' busboy in a hotel. I mean, they were nobodies. And he became,
right.
He went on to become the Speaker of the House in the Florida Senate.
Right.
You know, I'm just saying that they've made it pretty far in America. They made it a lot farther than me, and I had much more advantages than those two guys. Except
No, I don't.
Go ahead.
That's a subjective. It's a subjective feeling when you say you've done more or gotten farther. Who said that they got far? Ted Cruz is right now probably one of the most hated men in America, right behind Donald Trump. But you know, he's always been one of the hated men. If I go around in my day saying that people hate me, knowing that I'm not going to necessarily have a smile on my face, and look at Ted Cruz. Does he ever have a smile on his face? No. I would not want to have all his money and never have a smile on my face.
He does. You know what, though? After that big falling out between Rubio and Trump, they interviewed him about, first they interviewed Trump and then they interviewed him. I want to tell you something about what Newt Gingrich said too, or Rush Limbaugh, I'm sorry. First of all, Cruz was very level-headed about it. He didn't get emotional. He handled it well. And, the thing is that there's no way on earth Trump is ever going to choose Rubio as a running mate. He keeps, Trump keeps closing the door further and further and alienating himself from the power-ranking Republicans. There's no way they can nominate somebody that far off base, meaning Donald Trump. There's no way.
Well, there's a way. There's a way where he has to, if he gets enough delegates, overwhelmingly, they can't even ask for recounts or any other kind of convention tactics that they're planning right now, if in case he is nominated. They're planning it right now to make sure that they stop Trump any way they can. The establishment Republicans are probably the most upset about his popularity, I'll call it. Anybody. Nobody in the country is as upset as the establishment Republicans to Donald Trump. So they're going to try to sabotage everything he does from here until November, because he is going to be the shoe-in nominee. That's the thing that's surprising about this entire election, this entire campaign so far, is that there's going to be civil disobedience and revolt in the Republican Party by the time this is over. And that's almost assured. That's already started.
I agree. The other thing that Rush, you know, I never liked Rush Limbaugh, but I never listened to him. And then all of a sudden, 2 years ago, I listened to him like once a month when my Christian dial or NPR doesn't have anything exciting. But the thing that he said is that have you ever noticed that Donald Trump has much more accessibility to the media than any other candidate?
He said that at any time
and any place he can get on the air with any station or any airwave or any TV.
Except when he's getting his spray tan.
And then that's true, because even after that big horrendous debate last week where Rubio and the, you know, the, it was a verbal warfare, right after that, they interviewed Trump on the stage for 20 minutes. Why didn't they interview Kasich or Ben Carson? And then they secondarily interviewed Cruz. They didn't even interview Rubio right away.
What do you think it's all about? Why do you think Ben Carson in the last Republican debate kept whining before he prefacing every statement, "You guys are finally coming to me. Oh, my God." That's because the media controls everything, every moving moment, everything you do. You got to stop sex with your freaking husband or wife. You got to, you know, take the kids and give them to the nanny. You got to do everything you can to be in the media spotlight. That's what it's all about.
Okay, well, let's put it this way, okay? People can recognize on their own, like during the debate, who had the most rational answers, but how much do you think the media is going to dictate this new crisis with Donald Trump not being clear on whether he doesn't want the David Duke or the KKK endorsement? How much is the media going to influence that and voters? Is someone going to walk away to that caucus and say, "I'm not voting for Trump, no way"?
Yes. David Duke will sway a whole lot of voters in Trump's favor, a lot. So we're not talking about Trump not knowing Duke and disavowing him. We're talking about him building up that hate voting block, that voting block from the deep south, that if he can get that with all the north support, including, you know, New York and everywhere else, New Jersey, he's going to blow this. He could win this thing. So we've got to prepare for a Donald Trump presidency. And like I always say, fuck that bullshit. Get on board for down ticket candidates and issues. Don't worry about the presidency. You guys are missing the boat. You have no strategy at all. And when I say that, I'm talking about the electorate.
Who doesn't?
The parties,
who doesn't have a strategy?
The American people have no strategy. The politicians have no strategy at all. They're doing things on the run, on the fly. That's how they're making their decisions, and it's not good because it doesn't show any foresight. It doesn't show any vision. They're just doing things.
Okay, I have a question. As a white woman, a middle-class white woman educated in the Midwest, my perception of David Duke is minimal. I think 80 to 85% of whites find him disgusting. I think that he has no... On mainstream voters, whether they're... Let's just say they had 2 years of college or even, you know... and 20 years of working in the workforce and living just ordinary lives, people like David, no one's attracted to David Duke except for hillbillies and people
right.
who are low-information voters.
But they vote, damn it. Come on. You mean maybe in
Minnesota. Not all those hillbillies back in West Virginia vote, for Christ's sakes. They probably don't even their driver's license is probably expired.
You got your hillbillies in Duluth, though, who will vote for him. You know, they'll bring up their dead mother's registration, give it to somebody, and have them vote for him. That's how they work it. And in Duluth, you're going to have the hillbillies up there voting for Donald Trump.
Up here, we call them something else. We call them disoriented lumberjacks in snowmobile suits. There's actually a very refined class
Whatever.
Up here as far as the hippie crowd. But I would say the hicks, The Hicks are quiet. The Hicks up here are silent racists. Because when I worked for Obama in 2008 in Bemidji, we had a couple KKK-style attacks on Obama signs and also a couple of racial epithets.
Well, you know that we're still putting up new signs as we speak at two of our churches of Black Lives Matter. And so we're putting these signs up, and they're tearing them down, or they're defacing them. And we've got 8 so far with our Unitarian Universalists, and we've got 2 or 3 with our Jewish.
I remember you telling me around February 1st there was some kind of call to action in Reno at a church regarding racial backlash.
Exactly.
I don't remember the details now, but I remember the story.
And this is what we're still losing signs. So, yes, you're missing the point. You've got a preponderance of white people who are definitely afraid of anything, and they will get their guns and they'll bring themselves together and call themselves a militia and say that we have the right to have these guns, which is a complete and total lie against the Constitution. And then they will say, okay, we are protecting our way of life, therefore you must be challenged or incarcerated or eliminated. And there are our Indian brothers, our black brothers, our Hispanic brothers, they are dying. They're at the hands of evil, malicious, hateful white people, white men. So there's nothing more that you can say about that subject. It's fact, it's the truth. It's not going to stop anytime soon. However, we do have an opportunity here in 2015, 2016, 2017 to start our country on a road of humanity and just consciousness. You know, it costs more to incarcerate than it costs to have a person trained and working with their tax base. You know, the white man will cut his nose off despite his face. If he can't
I
have
do
it,
agree
nobody
with can. One thing, can you remember the last time, it could have been John F. Kennedy, I'm not sure, but the last time a presidential candidate with high ideals but major backlash got into office? Now, for John Kennedy was an example of people being afraid of a Catholic president because of the interference with the Pope. But the fact that Bernie Sanders may not be electable with his high ideals is somewhat disturbing. But no matter who gets in office in 2016, whether it's a conservative Cruz or, you know, a mainstream Hillary, somebody's got to deal with the incarceration rates. And even if 6% of the country is racist and against blacks, you know, those people can hide out the rest of their lives in their ignorance, but it's not acceptable. There is a way to elevate those people beyond their thoughts. Who's capable of providing that?
Well, you've got to take into account that blacks are used to living off of the kindness of strangers. And so when a black person is incarcerated, that's a month or a year or 10 years that they have a chance to clean up, get healthy, get strong, and come out and actually have a little better quality of life than they otherwise would have. So when you talk about the evils of incarceration and neglect, that's a form of repatriation or reparations when you get it 3 hots in a cot. So everybody makes these things sound so bad, but in the context of everything, like I said, we don't like to celebrate holidays because we were picking up the shit from the horses when they were finishing the parade. That's not a pleasant idea, and it's not a pleasant lifestyle, and it's not something that you should be as proud of, and and blacks, unfortunately, are not proud of the fact that we were brought over here against our rights. We are not immigrants. We were, slaves, and that's our purpose. So if we need to have any kind of change, it has to be within the white community. They have to accept the fact that people are people. Everybody bleeds red. Politicians are individuals, too. They can be stopped by checks and balances, and this process is just a process in democracy and not something that we have to adhere to all the time. So think about the big picture, and that's down-ticket races. That's the issues. Those are the topics. We're going to have gay rights coming up in its finality soon. We're going to have voting rights. My thing is that we need to bring back affirmative action in its complete form. Glass-Steagall, we need the economic we need the economic system to work for more of us than it does now. They're just pushing paper in Wall Street. You've got, Soros over here says one day he can take a hit. I can take a $5 million hit, so I'll buy up this stock that's going down. And then you got Buffett over here says, okay, today's my day. I'll take a $6 million hit just so that we can show that buybacks are showing our stocks are buoyant. Those are things that happen all the time, and this is how we're being played. And the American public is just there, and they know it. They know that we're not here. They are not there. The American public has no clue. They're professionals in whatever they do, and that's a very tiny fraction of what democracy and a community and a very large responsibility to the planet will do to you, and it's the American people's fault that they let all these car manufacturers produce cars that produce fossil fuel.
I accidentally hung up and had a call back in, so
I was
thinking about
that the whole time.
I'm glad
that
you didn't notice because I was panicking.
I didn't even know.
I know, I didn't have any way of notifying you since I'm on my cell phone. Let's just take a 30-second break, and I'll make some announcements. We have 10 minutes left of today's show. We had a substantial increase in listenership. I'm just going to, since February 20th, 1 week ago, we've had 303 archive listens, 4 live listens, for a total of 307 listens. That's pretty good because in that period we only did like 3 shows. So that's about 100 shows, 100 listens per episode. But sometimes people go back into our old shows and listen. So it's not like not necessarily that those 307 listens were the last 3 shows. I just wanted to say I think some of our new listenership has come from Twitter. There's a lot of Mad Dog Trump supporters on Twitter, but there's also a lot of other people supporting other candidates, and they've been tuning into my links that I've been posting on to the radio site. So I just wanted to make a quick announcement that we appreciate the new listenership, and I think also that when we specialize on certain issues, like we never covered this, but for example, when we did the show on February 14th on the Scalia vacancy, that got a heavy number of listens. When we compared Ben Carson to Donald Trump, like his temperament, that got a pretty good listenership. And when I covered Mark Rubio's conception of America, I don't think you were on that show, that got a heavy number of listenership. So those kind of things. And also things like Black History Month in Reno got huge numbers. So I think that if we're sticking to a broad spectrum, but we're also trying to be more unique than everybody else on Blog Talk Radio because we have more background with all three of our radio hosts' background, that makes it a better contribution to the website. So I know that I woke you up out of bed. You need some downtime before you go to work. I would like to end the show in the next 10 minutes because I have to go to church. So I was just wondering if you have any comments about the rest of today's show. Don?
Yeah, comments about what was that? Yes.
I was going through the stats, and we're going to end the show in a couple minutes, and I was wondering if you had a message to send to anybody today in any of the several states that are voting, what would it be? Because we're going to do our conclusion now.
Well, first of all, the Republicans need to urge whoever is not running well to drop out. They need to have a three-person race. The extra chatter or chattel that they're having with Carson and Kasich there, who are very prominent people, they do have a little bit to say, but Ben Carson, he needs to just fall off to the wayside. In terms of the Democrats, I think that Hillary she's going to ride a wave. Bernie's got to fight after this is over, so he's not going to go anywhere. All I can say is good luck. I've met most all of them on the Democratic side, and so,
you
know,
they're
nice
people. What was
Bernie
like in real life?
He's a nice guy. He's got really small hands, just like Donald Trump, but they're not soft like Donald Trump. They're more skeletal. But he's a nice guy. His wife is with him every step of the way, so they work as a team. And so can you remember that? And he's straight to the point. He's confident in his positions, and he doesn't want to end this fight. So that's why I say that I don't think Bernie's going anywhere, because when I met him personally,
yeah, he has an unwavering style in the delivery of his ideas. Like, he's very forthright. There's one reason I agree with you and one reason I don't. He's getting small donations, and they're not going to run out, so he could conceivably last till June. Secondly, even if Clinton does very well on Super Tuesday, there's no reason for Sanders to drop out, because he's just like the voice outside the corporate tailored dictation. You know, he's serving a higher purpose in this campaign beyond votes. So in
that's
that way,
saying.
I think he would stick with it.
He's bringing
and
out
then
the
last
youth.
Thing I want to say is that I don't care if it's right or wrong. I think it's over for Trump. He's too contentious. He doesn't have the temperament for a presidency. He's insulted. Even though his impact hasn't translated in votes, I really think that it's over for him. The Republican Party could never embrace somebody like that. And as I said in the beginning of the show, he should have considered running a third-party candidacy like Ralph Nader on, except for with lesser values, of course, because Ralph Nader is much more noble than Trump.
You got to understand
and
that's
with
not
that,
out of question.
I'm going to my delegate caucus tonight. I'm going to my caucus tonight with every best intention of supporting Hillary. Not because she's perfect, but I think that she's the best and the brightest. She can. She has a overall conception of how government functions, what to eliminate and what to save, and how to go about it and implement it. And with or without her flaws, I'm supporting her. So I do hope Sanders does stay in the race, because I do think not only is he he's keeping Hillary honest, but he's also showing how ridiculously different the Republicans are from the Democrats.
Exactly. And that's what's going to ultimately push the undecideds, all the independents in November, to Hillary, which is or is not a good thing, I can't say. But You know, that we'll have to see how this all works out, because this is going to be one of the wildest rides and races you'll ever see. But please, all I want the listeners to know is to work on your local down ticket races. Work on the issues. Work on the topics that are brought up in your local city council meetings. Those are the things.
Well,
that
I'm
going to
be supporting someone running for county commissioner tonight named Charlotte Gardner.
Great.
I've already gotten calls about my caucus tonight from lesser candidates, you know, not just the main big one. So
yeah, well, that lady who see to run for Bernie, that's significant also, mainly because she had to quit. Debbie Wasserman Schwartz, Schultz was such a Hillary backer that she knew that she had no space, so she had to quit. That's a significant thing for the Democrats and for Hillary, because does that mean that Hillary is going to polarize the Democratic voters? Does that mean that she's going to insist that you either be Bernie or me or get the fuck out? So that's disturbing. All right.
I agree.
But
okay,
but
well,
we're gonna,
we're
gonna have a rough.
I gotta head out, and I have to go to church now because my dual personality tells me to. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
So
No. I was thinking about you this morning and making sure that you have your little card issues under wraps right now.
Yeah, I do. By the way, I had a bad injury Sunday night, and I had to miss a day of work this week. I tried to grab a phone. I fell. My knee snapped, and I had torn four ligaments, and I've been hobbling around for 1.5 days.
You might have to get you tore ligaments. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, anyway, I went to the doctor already. Everything's squared away. With that, I'll text you tomorrow morning after Super Tuesday results come in, but I won't text you at 6 in the morning.
Thank you, sweetie. Thank you very much.
Okay, God bless you all, and vote your heart and your soul, but please don't vote for Trump, for God's sake.
No,
thank
don't
you.
Say that. If it's going to be
God's
will.
If you want
God's
to vote
will,
for Trump, then we're all going to become corporate outposts. They're going to build a Trump Tower in my backyard.
Well, that's all right.
Okay.
Well, just vote for whomever you want, but vote and bring your friends and be in the democratic process.
Thank you, Minnesota, for being a progressive state. We'll see you later, maybe tomorrow night. God bless. Good night.
Thank you. God bless.